150 frauds at all the largest museums, Paris, London, New York City, Buenos Aires, Johannesburg, involving the most common ape men you would think of: Neanderthal man, Homo habilis, Australopithecus afarensis, Australopithecus africanus, etc., etc. It is widespread, and this is an alarming discovery.
Welcome to the Creation Today Show, where we bring together interviews with experts and solid Bible teaching. Your host, Eric Hovind, affirms the ultimate authority of God's Word, the truth of creation, and why it matters to you.
Fraud at the highest level of scientific research is being exposed right now. Ladies and gentlemen, a research project that has been taking place over the last 27 years is making its way to the public, and its findings are, well, they're exposing this secret, this worldwide fraud that is being perpetuated among people still today in college classrooms and in museums everywhere. My guest today has spent the last 27 years researching human evolution and spent several of those years undercover, kind of on mission, traveling around the globe, interviewing expert researchers who are at the top of their field and have some of the most well-recognized discoveries in the world of paleontology. But what he's discovered during his time truly is alarming. He, along with his wife Debbie, are now blowing their cover, so to speak, in order to expose these frauds to the world. Joining me to discuss what he has learned and what he's discovered is Dr. Carl Werner. Dr. Werner, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
I am just learning about your research, and you have now developed a list of over, I know it's over 130 and maybe up to 150 now, frauds in the realm of human evolution, of what they're presenting that is simply, it's not just a mistake, it's actually a fraud. Am I correct in that?
That's right. It's a purposeful deception, such as lies, altering fossils and hiding it, changing diagrams, but purposeful deception of the public. It's a very strong word. And it's not just one scientist at the Natural History Museum with Piltdown. That's the only one we really knew of before. But now it's 150 frauds at all the largest museums, Paris, London, New York City, Buenos Aires, Johannesburg, involving the most common ape men you would think of: Neanderthal man, Homo habilis, Australopithecus afarensis, Australopithecus africanus, et cetera, et cetera. It is widespread, and this is an alarming discovery.
Well, I want you to show and share with us some of what you've discovered. But as we get into that, or before we get into that, literally a couple of years kind of almost undercover to actually get these interviews and get these photographs and get the filming on site, on location, where these things have been discovered. I got to tell you, man, your whole life sounds like a movie script just waiting to be released to the public. I mean, this is amazing. You got to tell us how this got started.
Well, actually, it's more broad than that. We have been filming undercover 27 years. Our first interview was with Don Johansson 27 years ago in 1997. And we have interviewed all across North America, South America, Africa, and Europe, and some in Australia too. And we also had the opportunity to photograph the original fossils of what are purported to be ape men. And that was really the key. They didn't understand that we were questioning evolution. We just came to do interviews with them about their ape men that they had discovered. And as we photographed whole collections of fossils in Tanzania, Nairobi, Johannesburg, Pretoria, the whole lot, these frauds just started popping out. And it was like, really? No, it couldn't be this blatant. And I don't know how everyone missed this, but it really did take access to the scientists. It took access to the fossils. and just took a little bit of, sleuthing, reading tons and tons of articles. Our bibliography on this project, just to show you how well researched is, the bibliography is 432 pages long. So.
Like the little thing at the end of a book that says, here's where the information is gathered from, just that is 450 pages.
432 pages. And what we did is, these articles are hidden like in the Journal of Japan, written in Japanese, or the Journal of, French Journal, and it's written in French. And so you had to translate it. And I thought, I'm not going to let anyone do this work again. I'm going to do the work of translating. And then I'm going to put a whole paragraph of what was said with the quote that I need in the middle of the paragraph, so it doesn't look like I'm quote mining. I want to make it totally reliable information. And you can follow the quotes all the way down to this bibliography. And you can follow the photographs all the way down. And it is astounding.
Okay, Dr. Werner. Hey, I tell you what, before you give me the first fraud, or before we jump into this as well, or however you go through this, can you real quick tell me what made you do this? I mean, like this, it's almost like it's crazy what you've spent 27 years doing. Why did you do this?
It is crazy. I was like, okay, so this starts as a 19-year-old medical student, 1979, I think that was. I was at the University of Missouri on a full tuition science scholarship. That's an unusual thing, to have a science scholarship. And I was a straight-A biology undergrad. I was also in medical school at age 19. And some crazy Christian took me out to dinner and asked me three questions about evolution. And his questions were so simple, and yet I could not answer one of them. And I realized that there's something wrong with my belief system, because why can't I answer him? His questions were, where did matter come from if it all came from, naturally through the Big Bang? Where did matter come from? And there is no answer to that because of the laws of thermodynamics. His second question was, how did life begin? Because, Carl, you know that the large molecules, the macromolecules like the DNA, the double helix, the proteins, the enzymes, they don't form naturally. How could life ever begin? And his third question is, why does the fossil record not match evolution? Which I knew it didn't, but he said, but how can that be with 1 billion fossils, that's a billion fossils collected in the museum? Why wouldn't you be able to see evolution for every animal group? And that started me on my first 18 years of just kind of reading Eric and just trying to sort it out. It's like, well, this must be this and this must be this. Then finally, I told my wife, I want to go do a one-year project and go do interviews. And that was the start of 1997. I thought it was going to take me a year, but I'm very slow. I'm extremely slow. And I'm kind of like Jacob, where I worked 7 years for Rachel and I got stuck with Leah. And then I had to go another 7 years and then I got Leah, but then her father wouldn't let me take Rachel off. And so I had to do another 7 years. So I am very tenacious. I just won't let go of something once I realize I have something really important.
So now 27 years. So it sounds like you're at the end of the fourth one of whatever those 7 years are. You're getting towards the end of that fourth one. You got to share with us what you and Debbie have discovered and why this is so significant. I heard you talk you're doing a couple little Zoom things, kind of private things for some people. And I got invited to one of those. And honestly, I was hearing things that in all my years, 25 years of speaking on apologetics and creation versus evolution, you were sharing things with me that I had never heard before. And I just sat there going, wow, this truth needs to be exposed. The frauds need to be exposed and this truth needs to be proclaimed. So can you start taking us through some of the frauds that you've discovered? And I don't know if you have a method or how you go through them, but I'd love us to learn these.
You know what? Since we just have this limited time, I'm going to just show you some highlights, not in order. But I want the audience to understand there's 150 frauds. Actually, some people would guess more than 150, But there's 150 frauds. And here's the first one. This chart that we all grew up on, this chart of a small ape evolving to a human. And the chart is called The Road to Homo Sapiens. And we interviewed the scientist. He's passed away now. His name was F. Clark Howell, who wrote this book for Time Life. And through the course of the interview and reading his books and interviewing his colleagues, all that's important too. You have to do the interview, the side interviews. We realized that there's only 14 animals in here, that 10 of the 14 animals that he put on here that we've all believed were not ape men. He knew 10 of the animals were not ape men. Now, I just want to define what I'm saying by ape man. An ape man is not an ape. It's not a human, Homo sapiens. It's an animal, theoretical animal on the line going from an ape to a human. The evolution scientists would call them hominins, hominoids, hominids, whatever, but it just ape man. You know what an ape man is. Clark Howell knew that animal one, Pleopithecus, number two, Proconsul, number three, Dryopithecus, number four, Oreopithecus, and Paranthropus were not ape men. They were not on the road to Homo sapien as this chart showed. And we have that clearly documented in the book and the accompanying video series. He also knew, and I can't believe I missed this, he also knew that the last five animals here were Homo sapiens. This one, number 10, it's called early Homo sapiens. Well, you can't put more than one Homo sapiens in this chart since it's the road to Homo sapiens. Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens. So right there, 10 frauds that he knew were wrong, but he put them in the chart anyway to make the case for evolution. It was terribly influential and it was infamous, not famous. It was infamous now because it was really a lie. That's one example.
And that is still the chart being used today. I mean, they might have replaced the people, but they're still trying to present the same basic concept and allow that to happen. So this is based on actual fossil finds. And you're saying those fossils right there, we know from those fossils that those were just apes, just like modern day for some. Some were just human, just like humans that we have today. And so it's not, it's the drawing that ended up being the evidence more than the fossil ended up being the evidence. Is that kind of accurate?
That's correct. That's correctly stated, but it's worse than that, Eric. He knew it.
Wow.
See, the guy that made the chart, if you read his readings, and we got his quotes throughout this chapter here, he knew that Pleopithecus was like a gibbon, a modern gibbon, and it wasn't ancestral humans. He wrote that, but he puts it in the chart anyway. He knew that Proconsul looked like a chimp, was not an ancestor to humans, and he put it in the chart. See, that's the fraud, and that's a very serious level of fraud. I don't think we should dwell on here because I have so many more, Eric. I want to go on to some more.
Well, before you do, because this is fascinating to me, so this is all in a book. Anybody can get this book and look at all these frauds.
Yes, there's two books. The one book is called Evolution and Grand Experiment, Volume 3, Untold Stories of Human Evolution, and Volume 4, 9 Categories of Overturned Ape Men. You will get to see this. This is from one of those two books. So yeah, it's available. And I'd encourage everybody to read it. Anybody can read this. A high school kid, eighth grade could, unscience trained person can read it. It's very simple language and only takes you about 2 hours. 2 hours to read it because there's 1,000 photographs in each book. So
that's my kind of book right there.
Exactly. It's my kind of book too. So I'd encourage you, if you're scared of this topic, don't be scared anymore. Just pick up this book. It's meant to help you understand what they did. And it's highly vetted. Many scientists have read this and they haven't found any errors in it yet. This is a vetted book. It's been read by other PhDs and it's highly researched and you are in for a surprise.
Okay. All right. I know you got more. I'm still wanting to know why would he include these if they were fraud. We're going to have to get the book and watch it. And your video series, I've watched two of your 8-part video series. Unbelievable, by the way. You got to check out the video series that accompanies these books. I'm going to watch the other 6. They are so good. Okay. Another fraud.
We've all heard of Homo habilis. Now, Homo habilis was supposed to be the creature between Australopithecus, 3 feet tall, 3.5 feet tall, and Homo erectus, 6 feet tall. So he's supposed to be about 4.5 feet tall, and he's supposed to have a brain between ape size, which is 500, and human size, 1,000, and it was about 700. This whole Homo habilis was complete sham and complete fraud. And I know those are strong words. Hang on to your seat if you believe in evolution, but I'm just going to show you the level of fraud here by Philip Tobias from the University of Witwatersrand in South Africa. His first fossil that he found was OH7. And this is his published photograph. Can you see that A and B?
I can, yes.
Yeah, that's his published photograph. That's the only thing that the other scientists saw, unless they happened to run over to Nairobi. Well, Debbie and I decided to go photograph the original fossils. And when we—
In Nairobi.
And when we photographed them, and I got back, I was like, what is going on here? This is the photograph that we took here. And this is a fossil. And there's something different. What's different? Now, by the way, this is a type specimen. This is a specimen, the first one they found, and that we're going to make all judgments about Homo habilis about this hereafter, based on this fossil. But if you look at letter B here, there is no letter B. There's no bone there. What happened to it? It was plaster. He added plaster to the type specimen. Now, that's unheard of. That just you just don't do that unless you make it really clear a reason you'd have to do that. But that's just unheard of. And then we noticed on this is a left skull piece. He started to add what appears to be bones from other animals to his skull. You know, if you have a puzzle like fit like here, you know, it's pretty clear that that piece fits there. But when you have a straight line on right here where these green arrows are, it's easy to put a straight line fossil next to a straight line fossil. Now, you don't notice it over here because it's black and white. But when you see the color and then flip it over here, this looks like two different animals, A and B. This is the same bone just flipped over. Look at A. It's a different color and it's connected with a straight line. And when it didn't fit, then he put a little plaster in there. I just want to scoot over here and show you. He also altered the other side. This is his published photograph of the right skull piece. Here it is. You just don't really know what's going on. It looks a little funny. I don't really see a problem. But then when you come over here and take the photograph, the color photograph that either I took this photograph, and then flip this over to look on the inside of the right skull piece, a straight line, a funny colored bone, and you could actually say these here are the same situation. And he, if you go then looking at the small print, he says that maybe more than one animal was used to put the type specimen together, which again, that is a no-no. You cannot do it. A type specimen is a type specimen. You can't be interpreting it. That was the first of four frauds he carried out. Now, I want to show you the next. Can I move on to the next one?
Yeah, well, tell me real quick, what did that bone do to make him say missing link versus, you know, like what did that do? So it looks like fraud. I get that.
But why would he do it? Why would he do it?
Right.
He's taking an animal, an Australopithecine, that's not an ape man, 500 cc, just an ape size, and he's making it into a larger skull. See, now he's adding pieces. And he's saying, oh, no, this is a large skull. This is 700 cc's. It wasn't. It was only 500 cc's. So he is enlarging the skull to make an intermediate between apes and humans. He's making it up to 700 cc's. And that's what his next three frauds are. He does four of these frauds on Homo habilis. And it's astounding. This is a very terrible thing to do, to alter a type specimen. The evolution scientists that are in the know, not just a small couple dozen scientists, they say now there is no such thing as Homo habilis. This animal is really Australopithecus or Australopithecus africanus, which is not an ape man. And it's not 4.5 feet tall, like he kept promoting, but it's only 3 feet tall. It's so short, it's like a you know, chimp. And so the evolution science, and you can get the quotes off my book here, the evolution scientists know that there is no such thing as Homo habilis. They've abandoned it. Now, the people in the intermediate, the college professors and this fellow that you're quoting, and at the American Museum, they still display this as an ape man. No, it is gone. And this is the first of four frauds that he did for Homo habilis. When you see what else he does, it gets crazier.
Let's see it.
Okay, here's the same scientist, because he's the one that named Homo habilis. Here's the same scientist, his next fossil. He found these pieces, okay? And he assembled them, or his colleague assembled them into this skull, okay? It was Homo habilis, and the skull was STW53. I'm not going to bore you with the details. Now, this skull is this skull here over here, okay? Now, the doctor that put the pieces together for Tobias, his name was Ron Clark, and he came up with this skull. It was kind of small. It was only 500 cc's, but, you know, he wanted it to be bigger than an ape. So Dr. Tobias, the fraudster, goes to Dr. Clark, who is also an evolution scientist, and says, Ron, can you take this skull apart and enlarge it? He said, no, why would you do that? He says, well, it's a Homo habilis, and I want it to be larger brain. He said, no, when I put the bones together, the bones align because they connected. You know, at certain points, you can find bones that touch each other, you know. And he said, you can't just enlarge it. He said, that's crazy. Well, Tobias was on a mission to prove that Homo habilis was an ape man. So he asked his another colleague, kind of a graduate student, Darren Curnow, who's now in Australia, would you enlarge it, take it apart? Oh, sure. And so here's before the bottom view, and here's after the bottom view. You see how big it got?
Oh, yeah. I can't. And it looks like they just elongated it. And the difference is the amount of plaster that they used.
He elongated. And then you look at on the side view before what it actually is, and afterwards, he again elongates it. He spreads the bones out more. And we had the opportunity to interview Ron Clark, who put it together in the correct way. And see, now, when we interviewed him, Tobias is dead. And so he can now be a little bit more frank. See, they're never frank about their colleagues until their colleagues are retired and lose all political power, because they could do retribution. So, hey, he's dead. I can talk about him. So Ron Clark says the following. I'm going to paraphrase, but he says, STW53 was a bigger fraud than the Piltdown Man. He said it was terrible. Piltdown Man was a better fraud than this one. He said it is a complete fraud. And that's on camera with our film rolling. You can see that in our 6-part video series. It's a stunner.
Wow.
Eric, if you just look at one of these, you could just say, okay, well, let's do a whole show on this. But that just one more of Homo habilis. I'm just going through Homo habilis frauds.
And again, unbelievable.
This fossil's on display at the American Museum, and they don't call out the frauds.
Yeah. And it's still on display at the museum.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't call out the frauds. The poor frauds.
I mean, honestly, I'm sitting here going, how frustrating that you're literally inventing the evidence. You have this preconceived idea, ape evolved into humans. Now all we need is the proof. And you're faking the proof in order to sell your idea instead of wondering whether your idea is true or not. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. If anybody's out there just sleeping, you better wake up, because you're missing something big here. And this is a watershed moment for creation. When someone says that, hey, all these fossils are fake, that's Lucy, Australopithecus afarensis, Neanderthal, Homo neanderthalensis, Africanus, Turkanaboy, Homo erectus. I could go through the list. They're all fake based.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy. And you got, so how many have you shown me here? You showed me 10 with the ones that the guy included
on
the chart.
Yep.
You showed me Tobias, first one. I don't know how many actual frauds that counts for. This one.
Yep. This would be two.
So we're only at 12 out of 150 frauds. You got a lot more to go through. I'm not going to have time to get through it all with you. But for those of you watching, you just got a taste, just a little taste of some of the major frauds that are taking place. And you're seeing the evidence right there. I mean, look at that plaster. That is their evidence that it evolved and it's completely fabricated. It's completely made up. Dr. Werner, I want you to go through some more of these, but I'm going to have to let social media go right now. If you're joining me on social media or a television show or a podcast, first of all, thank you for tuning in. I hope that this is I want to say amusing, but as frustrating to you as it is to me to realize what's propping up the evolution worldview is nothing but a lie. I got in the second half, Doc, I wanted to bring my friend in, Bones, here, because you're going to be covering some stuff that I want to look at here as you talk, just from what I heard you talk about the other day, and actually look at some of the things that they're claiming about these things and how it's half man, half ape. I want to get into some of these structures and actually think with you on it compared to my friend Bones here. So Bones and I are going to be hanging out with Dr. Werner. If you guys want to join us, come on over to creationtoday.org and we'll hang out there together for another half an hour. Before I let you go there, I want you to get a hold of the books and the videos for Dr. Werner. You need to watch these yourself and understand the broad scope of the fraud that has taken place and read for yourself and see the images of the fraud that's taken place. So these books that he's referring to right here are available. You need to pick these things up. The Grand Experiment.
I want to watch the fraud videos, which are very spectacular.
Social media, I'm going to let you go. If you want to join the rest of the conversation, come on over to creationtoday.org. Sign up to partner with us to reach the world. And you get to access not just the rest of this conversation, but every conversation we've ever had. I think we're almost at 365 amazing conversations. So you got one for every day of the year. All right. So come on over to creationtoday.org and join us.
Don't miss it.